this is the story. I cannot believe this when I was reading it this morning. We talked some weeks ago about the likelihood that the kingpin of the Bali 9 drug operation was most likely living a life of luxury, dropping his kids off at private schools, probably going along and chatting to other people, wearing a suit and...
Living in a mansion in the eastern suburbs, driving a beautiful spanking car,
We're just making this assumption. We pick up the Herald this morning. The Herald is saying the man suspected of masterminding the whole show is living the high life while these two blokes are awaiting the firing squad. According to this story, he abandoned his life of crime some years back. He won $5 million in the lottery.
Now, have a think about that. He's taken the money, the drug money, and he's used it to buy a lotto ticket, and he's won lotto. And if any of you still believe in karma, forget about it.
Well, former senior police sources have told the SMH the man was suspected of high-level involvement in the syndicate that supplied the drugs carried by the mules, but they were never able to pin it on him. He's remained free to this day. So, story put together by Fairfax Media, Nick McKenzie, Richard Baker, and the investigations editor of The Age, Michael Batchelard, who has been spending a lot of time in that part of the world. Until recently, he joins us on the line now. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
Michael, thanks for joining us. It's got to be the ultimate slap in the face for these families of Mayuran Sukumaran and Andrew Chan, isn't it, that they're facing the execution over there in Bali, and meanwhile the guy who was the ringleader is living the high life here in Sydney.
Look, it's incredible, and just last night, as a coincidence, I got a message from a Facebook friend of mine selling pieces of Mayuran's art, try and fund his family to stay over there, while they wait for what seems now to be an inevitable execution. And this guy's, as you say, bought a lottery ticket, with his ill-gotten gain, and he's now retired, can afford to retire as a criminal and living in luxury in Sydney. It's, as you say, there's no justice, is there?
You obviously can't name him because you don't want to give him a large defamation payout and add to his fortune, but what can you tell us about him? How old is he? What sort of lifestyle has he got?
Look, we don't know. He sort of disappeared off... And we must add also, this is a police suspicion. He's never been charged. As you said, they didn't have enough evidence to go ahead on it. It's the police intelligence report that does link him to it. So we're not even... And the police aren't 100% certain that this is the guy. So, from that point of view, it would have been impossible to name him. But he was intricately involved, they believe, in the Bali 9 syndicate. He was. We know that the big guys don't go over there on the ground. The big guys are handling the money. They're sourcing the drugs. They're doing it by remote control. What we do think we know is that. The lottery win came shortly after these guys were originally arrested, and so while they were going through the process of justice in Indonesia, he was going through the process of changing his life and setting up a very nice rich one.
Michael, you were based in Jakarta for many years for Fairfax. So you're their Indonesian correspondent. You've covered the Bali 9 issues for some time. Why didn't Chan and Sukumaran dob this bloke in?
Well, they didn't dob him in because they feared for their families. Because there had been threats of violence against their families if they should ever talk. And as you know, in the criminal world, you don't dog. There's also, how can we put this? There's a lot of what happened over the course of the conviction and of the Bali 9 was that various members of the Bali 9 gave testimony against one another to protect themselves. You can understand it, but it would have become very complicated, I suspect. And I don't know the full story. I don't know that anybody except those guys do. It would have been very complicated to start throwing in extra names as well.
Mm. You've spent a lot of time dealing with the Indian bureaucracy and the judiciary over there. What chance would you give Sukumaran and Chan of getting off this death sentence?
Look, I do know, and I spoke to the lawyers yesterday, that there is they've got many irons in the fire, but once the political decision's been made, essentially, and it is a political decision, clemency is a decision by the president, and once he's made a political decision to go ahead and do this, it's very difficult for them to reverse it, particularly when it comes to an Australian, because there is that kind of slightly underground but always present kind of anti-Australian sentiment in Indonesian politics. It raised its ugly head when Chappelle Corby was released a year ago. And it would prevent any Indonesian president, or at least make it very difficult for them to reverse a decision like this now.
Okay. All right, Michael, thank you very much for joining us. Drug kingpin wins Tats Lotto.
Yep.
Staggering.
Michael Batchelard there from The Age, and if he's listening right now, mate, I hope one day the door knocks, and it could be any time, and you spend the rest of your life in jail and become the most hated man in Australia.
Gee, I wish
the world, you can't rest.
I wish the world worked like that, but well, I'm afraid it doesn't.
I'm hoping one day.